Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Good evening, White Sox fans, and welcome to the latest edition of Future Sox Hot Takes and Heaters. This is the MLB-centric podcast of Future Sox. As always, I am joined tonight by my partner, Jacob Thome. How you doing tonight, Jacob?
We're doing great. Ignore the extra festivities going around here. We're hustling into some things. I have not as set up as I normally am, but also MacBook's totally about to die, so let's figure that out. But other than that, we're doing good.
Yeah, get it done because I am also on a little bit of a Las Vegas sensory overload recovery. 4.5 days is just man, it's more than enough when you're in Vegas and the noise is pretty much constant until you get back to your hotel room when you're in Vegas. And my goodness, man, I look back to like just a little over a year ago when my wife and I went with another group of friends and we stayed 6 days. And I mean, how I survived 6 days is beyond me because this last one, I was ready to come home Monday. When we got home late Monday night, my ears were still kind of had a light ringing in the background. You know what I mean? It was just, it's a lot, man. But we got a lot in. We saw some shows. We did some things. We gambled a little bit. It was a good time. Ate some good food. So happy to be back. Anything new and exciting in your world as of late, buddy boy?
Dude, so much going on right now. So MacArthur, if you don't know, because it kind of happened just like out of the fly. I don't even want to say out of the fly. It literally... I don't know if I've told this story before, and I don't want to get too far into it, but I applied for a job in Springfield, didn't get it, but the dude was, like, extremely nice. He was like, yeah, like, you're a great kid, and we just, like, don't need you. We don't need this position anymore. And I was like, all right, I get that, you know, that's respectable. And then I get a call, like, 2 days later and from a radio station in Decatur, and he's like, hey, we're looking for something, like, on the flight. We just have one of our guys just left. I was like, all right. So I showed up to the job interview. I had a job 10 minutes later after I got there. It was insane. So it's been a joy kind of talking that stuff and getting to cover now Decatur MacArthur football, who's 5-1. They're really good. So they're going to the playoffs. So that's always fun. And yeah.
So that's you, man.
That's the update in my world.
I am I'm glad that everything is working out for you on that front. And I'm still looking forward to getting an opportunity to do an on-the-air interview with you. I know we tried that once a few weeks ago. Didn't quite work out due to technical difficulties, but you know, things happen. I mean, that's just that's how the world works, especially when you're trying to do things on the fly and you try to get things up and running really quickly. So understandable. But I have had a chance to tune in once or twice here or there more recently since things have been figured out. And it sounds like things are going much more smoothly for you there. So fantastic stuff. So today is Wednesday, October the 8th, I believe. I need to double check that. Yeah. And we are going to be joined by the gentleman known as Daily White Sox on Twitter, our very own Ian Eskridge, at some point during the show tonight. Ian usually typically focuses on the prospect aspect of the White Sox organization. But, you know, after his show with James on Sunday, they touched on a couple of things that I really wanted to pick his brain about a little bit and delve into a little bit deeper as far as the MLB club goes and, you know, some of this outseason, the offseason outlook that we're going to get into tonight. So if you are here with us live, stay tuned for that. If you're listening to us recorded, stay tuned for that as well, too. But Ian has a wealth of knowledge, so we'll be hearing from him very shortly. But in the meantime, I wanted to kind of take a moment to talk to Jake a little bit here about what is your wish list for this offseason look like before we get into what we think the club is actually going to do. I want to, you know, kind of pick your brain a little bit on, you know, and you know, it doesn't even have to be realistic. You know what I mean? Like, obviously there are things that we all want that a lot of people kind of shy away from because they know the organization and the history. And I just want to throw that out the window right now and just tell me, what would be your perfect offseason for the Chicago White Sox this year?
I think Alonso would be a huge piece of that. I think he's a realistic goal, and B, someone that would fit the system. I think, and I'll say this, and we'll talk to Ian about this as the mic of doom and despair appears.
Yeah, you disappear behind that thing, I tell you.
Dude, my desk is so like shallow this way. Trained, by the way. That like I don't have room this way, so
I was like, are the Hawks playing tonight?
No,
it was a Hawks scoring goals.
I live maybe 50 feet from a train track, a very active train track. They're moving grain like crazy right now.
Gotcha.
Anyway, they're in such a weird spot because the offense was good this year and really good, or at least the second half was, and then the pitching staff's weird because of all the guys they have on IL. Like, you know, you have to fix the bullpen, but like, I think there's a hope within the White Sox organization that Davis Martin, Jonathan Cannon, and Sean Burke aren't back in the rotation next year. So there's three arms you got to fix or you got to replace. And then obviously Savali was filling in spots. So there's really only Shane Smith, but then you turn around and look and like, you know, Noah Schultz, I think is a guy you're projecting to be in that rotation. Tanner McDougal is a guy you're projecting to be in that rotation. You have Mason Adams coming back off of Tommy John. You have missing one. Drew Thorpe, who's coming back off of Tommy John. Like, there's legitimately four pitchers there. So I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, a great get would be a starting pitcher, whether that's Dylan Cease or Sanchez from the Phillies. I think one of those two makes a lot of sense. And I'm even talking realistically. I think one of those two is just to add a true number two or number one, depending on what you think Shane Smith is, into that rotation. And then you have enough spots for the young guys, because I think there's hope as well that if Hagen Smith has a good fall and puts together a good spring and strings some stuff along, he could be up next year as well. So they're in a weird spot. And then offensively, there's a huge hole, right? And that's first base. Like, there's nothing in the system. There's nothing there. And obviously there's a discussion, I think, with Lenin and Miguel Vargas, right? Like, are you going to play Miguel at first? Are you going to play Lenin at first? I'm not sure. But I would go out and I'd get an elite first baseman. I think Pete's there. Mr. Naylor's there. And then outside of that, I mean, you could go out and they have to add bullpen pieces. Devin Williams is my target, but Helsley is another good one. There's a bunch of them. One interesting trade that I thought was floated on Twitter, and I think I tweeted this out. I did, and then Shane Smith's sister talked about it, which made me feel horrible. was Shane Smith, Lenin Sosa, and Corey Lee for Willier Abreu, who's a true like five war player in right. And that would be really interesting. So that's kind of, I mean, I think you could add a corner outfielder. I think they have a need at first base and then, you know, fix some pitching staff stuff. But other than that, I mean, they have a really interesting offseason ahead just because of what they have to project that's already on the injury list or, you know, position flexibility stuff.
Yeah. You know, I don't think I want to put any actual names or at least too many names out there when I talk about my wish list per se. I think, you know, when we talk about this and like I kind of preface this by saying, you know, this isn't necessarily the time for us to talk about what we think the organization will do. It's just like throw all caution to the wind and, you know, say what we really would like to see happen, which, you know, in my mind, what I'm about to throw out there is definitely not realistic, but it's fun. You know, I just want to, you know, kind of take a moment to throw that whole idea of the organization being, you know, cheap over the years and kind of just look at things of like, how would I like to see this offseason go? And what would make the White Sox not only, you know, true actual contenders for the AL Central, but also for a possibility at, you know, making a strong push to go deep into the playoffs. And my thing is, I agree with you 100%. I'd like to see an actual first baseman come up. You know, and I don't care so much about who, but the top two guys out there, obviously, like you said, are probably Naylor and the gentleman from the Mets, which I don't even want to say his name because I don't want to jinx it. I just feel like every time I throw a name out there, it just kind of goes to the wayside. And I do think that one of those guys could be a possibility depending on what the budget is set at for Chris Getz. But I would definitely love to see a solid starter, you know, signed to a decent length contract just so that it's somebody that we can add some stability to the rotation. Because like we said, we've talked about all the injuries that are out there and guys coming back. And, you know, Hagen Smith seems to look, you know, he looks like he's kind of becoming, you know, Hagen Smith again here later in the season. But yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of guys coming back from injuries. Specifically Tommy John's and you know, arm injury. So a lot of those guys are going to be limited. I would definitely love to see a solid, you know, rotation piece. So one or a two would be fantastic, just to add to, you know, the handful of guys that we think could be ones and twos already in our system. The other thing is, you know, we talk about the outfield. I would definitely love to see a corner outfielder or two even, you know, get moved to the White Sox organization. If we're talking about budget not being a thing and this just being our wish list, forget about Andrew Benintendi. I don't really care. Mike Tauchman, you know, the possibility of Mike Tauchman coming back, sure, that's fine. He was a solid, you know, acquisition for the White Sox, and I could definitely see him coming back as long as he produces the way he has the last couple of years, kind of quietly doing things that people don't really give him enough credit for. But, I mean, two corner outfielders with some pop on this team, regardless of you know, budget, would be awesome. And back end bullpen pieces, you know, would be my wish list for this baseball team. I think the plethora of infielders that are more than capable within the organization, not just that have been up with the MLB team, I'm sure you could find, you know, a really good starting infield with some abilities at the plate. But yeah, that would be my wish list. And you know, throw some money out there. But, you know, we know that's probably not going to happen, and we're probably not at that point of this quote-unquote, you know, I'm going to throw the air quotes out there, rebuild. But we're going to spend some time talking about that tonight. We do have Ian, our very own Ian Eskridge, in the waiting room right now. So I'm going to go ahead and bring him in if he is ready. It looks like he is. So where's my... My scenes are stuck.
Oh, the joys of technology.
Hey, how about that?
Hey. Yeah, it's always nice to have another guy who's got permissions to do those things. So, yeah, my slider was just, it's like frozen. So, what's going on, brother? How are you, man?
I'm doing all right. You know, just been watching some playoff baseball. I got the Cubs, or not the Cubs. The Cubs won earlier, but I got the Yankees and Blue Jays on here next to me. Gonna have that on. Yeah, I'm
keeping an eye on that, too.
Yeah, while I'm doing, you know, cutting up some Arizona Fall League highlights, hopefully here up in a few minutes. And yeah, that's about it. Going to work in a little while, so there's that's a lot of fun.
Are you working tonight?
Yeah, I gotta go and pull some cables over the gaming floor, so that's always easier at night. So
yeah, sounds like sounds like a lot of fun.
So much fun. So you're talking about that that Mets free agent. I know you're thinking about Starling Marte.
Sure, that's the one.
I mean, you're talking about outfield free agents that you're looking into. You know, he put up some pretty decent numbers for the Mets this year, actually, and he's an unrestricted free agent. So I mean, if you're going to go after an outfielder, you're going to have to try and get rid of Andrew Benintendi, I think. And does that happen? I mean, do they, what are they going to have to eat? What are they going to get back for an Andrew Benintendi? You know,
it's, well, you know, this was kind of more of our let's dream a little bit portion of the show rather than, you know, what we actually think is a possibility as far as, you know, what the organization and the front office might do and what kind of budget Chris gets is, gifted, so to speak, from our fearless leader, Mr. Reinsdorf, because, and I say gifted with purpose, because, you know, he acts like he's, you know, opening his wallet as if it was like, here, I'm doing this for you. You know, this is for the fans, and this is for my general manager to go out and build my team. You know, I don't know. It's more of a, let's just wish and see what happens. But I don't believe that we're going to see a major splash at corner outfield particularly. But, yeah, I like the idea of Starling Marte.
Yeah, it's not bad. You know, it's if you look at the outfield names that are out there for this year, it's not really anything. You know, it's like, you know, obviously when you get past Kyle Tucker, which, I mean, what is he, you know, is he going to return to what he was at the beginning of the year? Is that what you're going to get? I mean, you know, when you're weighing the dollars there, that's a thing. And the White Sox aren't going to be in that dollar amount, you know, looking in that dollar amount. So, I mean, you got like a Rob Refschneider and a Lane Thomas. I mean, it's like there's a bunch of names out there, but it's not really anything. You know, Tommy Pham, we've already had him, and I kind of don't think that they'd want to bring him in for, you know, I mean, granted, for me, it's entertaining, but, you know, for their coaching staff, are they going to want to bring in a Tommy Pham again? I kind of don't think so. So Jesse Winker, does that tickle your fancy?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, the issue, right? And then you look at, like, you know, obviously the White Sox don't have a ton in the pipeline at outfield. Obviously, Braden's coming, right? I mean, he's the big guy. I wanted to pick your brain about this a little bit because we talk about this a lot. What are some of the, you know, there's a log jam in infield, corner and middle. Who are some of the guys that you think are potential fits to move to the outfield? Because there, it seems like some of those moves are going to be happening maybe this spring. Or maybe this offseason.
Well, they moved Brooks Baldwin already. So I'd say that's one. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Chase Mydroth do that, because you got Sam Antonacci, who's like nipping at his heels.
He's William Pagoya
also nipping on the heels. And I think that the overall philosophy for the White Sox has to be get as many good baseball players on that team as you can. And, you know, you let them kind of figure out themselves who's going to stick. You know, because not everybody's going to be able to hit at the major league level. You know, I mean, let's just be honest there. There's always, you know, when you're bringing up these prospects, even if they're hitting in double A and triple A, there's no guarantee that once they get to the major leagues that they're going to be able to figure it out. And, yeah. You know, one of the things that we've noticed from them over the last couple of years is, you know, you have to let these guys kind of get their feet wet, and you have to let them get some consistent ABs for you to actually figure out what they are. You know, when Lenin Sosa is getting like 60 ABs, you know, he struggled. But now that he's more into a full-time role, you've seen that, you know, I mean, granted, you're still looking at a 101 OPS plus. You know, it's not like he's some revelation that's got like a 150, you know, OPS plus or WRC plus, whichever number you want to look at. You're looking at a guy who is putting numbers up, but it's, you know, is it really earth-shattering? No, but, you know, you do what you can, you know. I think it's just the whole thing of trying to get everybody you can that can play the game of baseball and actually do it correctly. You try and get as many of those guys as you can on the field, you know?
Yeah. You know, and so one of the reasons that I asked you to come on tonight, did I say X'd or S'd?
X'd.
One of the reasons I asked you to come on and join us tonight is I listened to your show with James a couple days ago. And early in your show, actually, you guys kind of just glanced over the draft. And, you know, James had mentioned that we're starting to see some things out there, especially there's some tweets out there that people are saying, like, the draft isn't what it used to be because we're looking at college players that kind of make their way into starting lineups and even pushing for it playoff positions right now. You know, we're looking at guys that were drafted just last year. And I know the White Sox, their philosophy has still been kind of more geared towards the prep player as of late. You know, Mike Shirley has kind of done a fantastic job, obviously, of finding some guys who have found some sticking ability other than Jacob Gonzalez. Like you guys said, it just doesn't seem like he's quite found it yet. But I wanted to, you know, talk about a little bit about what the White Sox have in their system as far as like college players go in the last couple of seasons last couple of drafts that you think maybe have an opportunity to push for spots, you know, during this offseason and in preseason next year to possibly, you know, crack the roster, being that you are the one of the gurus here at Future Sox as far as, you know, the minor league guys go.
Well, I think that I mean, obviously, you look at Sam Antonacci, who we talked about briefly earlier. He's going to be one of those guys. Ryan Galani, who's playing first base in the Arizona Fall League right now, also with the Barons, played in multiple levels this year. Alec Makarevich, same thing. Caden Connor, same thing. All played at multiple levels this year, and they're recent college draftees. You know, I think from, you know, mostly 24 and 25, 23 and 24. So, you know, you got a bunch of guys that seem to all thrive pretty well in pressure, and they all know the game of baseball. You know, I don't see any of them just out there doing really, you know, making massive mental errors and stuff, which in the past, you know, that was kind of a thing. You know, I don't know if you remember this or not with the White Sox, but defense hasn't exactly been their strong suit for the last few years. Well, actually, it's picked up, I guess, in the last few years. But, you know, previously there was a lack of baseball acumen just in general from prospects that are brought up. And you're still going to see some of that. You know, I know that some people complained about Brooks Baldwin in the outfield, thinking that, you know, he made some mistakes and stuff. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, he normally knows when to hit his cutoff, man. He normally takes good routes to the baseball, you know, and he's kind of feeling his way through it in Major League Baseball in center field. And that's, you know, that is what it is. But I kind of think that there, you know, there are some, there are a few college guys that could make a push here to the roster next year. I think it's just a matter of which one, like, I don't know if they're going to open up the roster to that just yet. I still feel like they're kind of feeling through things and trying to work out exactly who's going to fit on the 40 man for this off season, because it's getting trickier and trickier, and they've got so much pitching, and a lot of it is, you know, just top end talent as far as pitching goes. Even if they were drafted lower, some of these guys are pushing up and are definitely looking like somebody else that's something that somebody else would be willing to grab.
Yeah, I would say when it comes Higgins to Rule 5, three. When it comes to Rule 5, there's guys that obviously need to be protected right now. Let me, since you kind of brought up, you know, figuring out the 40 man. I did want to ask you really quickly, who of the guys that need to be protected are you the least worried about, or at least who are the guys that are Rule 5 eligible that you're least worried about getting scooped, do you think, in the coming days? And who do you think is probably a shoe-in for the 40-man that isn't already there?
Well, I'd say probably the guy that I'm least worried about being taken is Sammy Zavala. Just because he's only was in advanced A, and knowing that they have to keep them on
their MLB roster
for 26 man for the entire year, there's just no way that somebody's going to be able to hide him out there unless he just absolutely takes off. You know, which, I mean, he definitely looked better this year, and he looks like he made a bunch of improvements. His defense is always good. But his swing looks a little bit better this year and put up some decent offensive numbers. Granted, the power didn't increase as much as you would have hoped with that extra bat to ball. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't think that I think that they can get away without protecting him. As far as the pitching goes, though, there are so many pitchers that need to be covered. And I'd say the ones that I would be worried about if they didn't protect, you know, like say they didn't protect somebody like a Tyler Schweitzer, he's gone if he's left there. I'm almost 100% sure.
Filthy.
He's got some really nice stuff. I mean, he kind of struggled as the season tailed off in the playoffs, but right before that, you know, he was at, 43 innings or something like that, a scoreless baseball. So, you know, the skill is there. I think it's just one of those things where it's a little bit of a maturity thing, and he's got to work through a couple of things here and there about, you know, staying aggressive on the field and whatever, you know.
Hey, Trey, good to see you. We are also in the throes of watching the Yankees on the road to elimination here, and I don't think anybody on screen you see here is going to be upset about that. But couldn't happen to a nicer team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, I've never been one for being sad when watching the Yankees lose ever. So,
no, not at all.
Ian, what do you make of kind of this weird wave of guys coming off the Tommy John surgery? You know, you have Drew Thorpe, Baroa's coming off, Adams is coming off. And then that, I mean, not for next season, obviously, but like Blake Larson will be kind of a fun pick. He never got a chance at it. What does that complicate this, off season wise? How troubling is it going to be to like project kind of the starting lineup next year because of some of these guys that are coming off Tommy John?
Yeah, I mean, part of the issue here, so you've got Mason Adams, Rule 5 eligible.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpoints. TC
coming off of Tommy John, so that kind of complicates that.
He's a huge favorite of ours around here, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I love the guy's game for sure. He's awesome. I don't know if they protect him just because of that, because he's not going to be available. And they've got a lot of spots to fill. That said, I hope that he's protected, and I hope they don't let him walk. I was explaining this to somebody else the other day. Without having a track record of what Chris Getz has done and how he's dealt with situations like this in the past, without that track record, I don't have a baseline to make a call as to who he's going to protect and who he's not. I know that they love Mason Adams as a pitcher, so I would think that they don't leave him out there. But there are plenty of names that they can get rid of here on the 40 man and be okay, I think, pass him through waivers, you know. So,
and I mean, the only thing that kind of worries me about Mason Adams is there is the thought that, again, you know, you scoop a guy in Rule 5, the team that does that has to keep them on their 26-man for the entirety.
Unless they can stash them on the 60-day IL. So
right.
It's entirely possible that they could take a risk on that. And just, right. You know, knowing that he's rehabbing, they can just stash him on the 60-day IL. And at some point, he has to come off of that. But for that reason right there, I don't know that any of these guys coming off of the TJ are going to necessarily cloud anybody's judgment for the 26-man roster at this, you know, at this stage, because you don't know what any of them are at this point if they're coming off of TJ. You know, it's going to take a little bit of time. They're going to have to do their rehab stints and all that
stuff. Yeah, some of them haven't even started throwing programs, so it's kind of difficult to even prognosticate, and I'm glad that you have been able to, you know, kind of shed some light on that, because I have seen it come up on the socials a few times where people are trying to, you know, figure out what's going on with that there. And it's, in my opinion, probably the toughest job that the GM has in the offseason this year, is kind of figuring out who those guys are that need to be protected and who aren't. Because, you know, as you say, there are a handful of guys that, even coming off of Tommy John, I think there's a lot of teams out there that would not mind taking a shot at those guys, regardless of, you know, where they're at in their rehab, just because of who they were before Tommy John and where Tommy John and the rehab and all that stuff, how far we've come along over the years, and how most guys now are recovering sooner, much quicker. The surgery itself is improved, and so many more people are getting it that we know the rehabs are kind of more focused on the things that they need to do to become healthy and be just as good, if not better, after the surgery. So it's a difficult thing to put on a GM in general. And I would think that, you know, you almost have to at least protect the guys that you covet the most, regardless of where they're at. So,
just to clarify here. So I would guess that most of them are already throwing, all those guys that from earlier this year. I know Mason Adams is already throwing, so, you know, they should be ready for at least light work starting, you know, like off the mound and everything in spring training. That they should be in that spot already throwing off of a mound at that point, unless right. there's complications.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Jake, I got a question for you here. Actually, I'm going to go back before we even get into that. I'm going to go back because there was a question in the chat. I don't want to get too far ahead. But Wolf brought up a question, and I think it was probably directed at Ian. And I don't think we're going to have Ian for the whole show, so I might as well get this out there now. Unless you want to stick around, completely up to you. Happy to have
I'll
you.
I'll stick around for a little bit, yeah.
But I believe this one was kind of geared towards more towards you. Wolf Larson asks, at 26 years old, will Zach Franklin get a real shot in the pen? He was solid this year. What do you have some thoughts on that for us, Ian?
I think so. I think that he'll be one of those names that you'll see him a bunch in spring training, probably. How long you'll see him in spring training for, I don't know. It depends on like the results and how they feel about where he's at, I guess, right? He's got a really nice carry on his fastball, and he's got some nasty stuff. I mean, he's pretty good. I like him a lot, but we'll see, you know, who they bring in and everything. This is where everything's going to get tricky, is that how many of these prospects are they going to throw into the bullpen right away? You know, I mean, there's a bunch of names out there. A couple of them are in the fall league throwing as well. I don't know. We'll see. You know, Hagen Smith just stepped on the mound in Arizona right now.
It'd be awesome to see him go three innings and, come out of it unscathed. It would be pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I'm thinking 3 to 4 innings, probably closer to 3 because they're trying to get work for these guys. But I mean, you could see him go 4 possibly, usually in the Arizona fall league, they keep the shorts, you know, like the starts kind of short, you know, like 3 to 4 innings. So, you know, also absolutely. It depends on, pitch counts and, how many innings the guy has and his, previously in the year and all that, but we'll see what he does today.
Cool. I'm looking forward to it. Again, he's one of the names that I think a lot of Sox fans have been paying attention to. I think gone are the days of like the super casual fan where people kind of just show up on opening day and they're like, oh yeah, I maybe heard this guy's name before. I think with all the websites like Future Sox and, you've got, all the bloggers out there that are kind of keeping tabs on minor league players a little bit more, and you've got things being posted to social media. I think you've got just a lot more interest over the fan base as a whole, and I'm glad that we're able to produce that. So I think a lot of people are – there's just a handful of names that people are looking forward to, Hagen being one of them. Wolf brings up McDougal, another big one out there that people have heard a lot of. Where was it? Thought we might even get a chance to see him at the end of the year this year. It didn't quite work out that way, but looking forward to seeing some Tanner coming up here shortly, as well as a bunch of other names that we mentioned tonight. But I want to get into a little bit of what we did our kind of our wish lists. I want to get a little bit more involved or at least talk a little bit more about instead of wish lists, what we actually think the offseason plans might hold for the White Sox and, who you guys think might actually be true possibilities to be part of this roster in the organization come next season, whether it be, somebody from the minor leagues or even an outside player. But before we get into that, I do want to kind of preface that I was listening to Sox in the Basement earlier. Matter of fact, today, I think it was a show from, earlier this week, maybe yesterday. And Chris Lanuti talked about how he had done an interview with Merkin recently. And Scott told him that, basically the way things are going to work out for the White Sox right now is that the front office is waiting on a budget from, top brass. And that's not necessarily something that we've ever heard before, where like they get like a specific number and this is your budget, this is what you got to work with, go get it done, do whatever you want. Or, you know, he even mentioned that, is there the thought that maybe, you know, every now and again they spend that budget and they think they're going to get more out of, you know, the top brass later, like, hey, you know, I really need this player. You know, harkens back to the Moneyball scene where you get Billy Bean asking for a little bit of money and then, you know, throwing his own salary in and you know, paying back the team later. Like, I don't, you know, I don't believe those things actually kind of happen, especially in the White Sox organization. But pardon me. But the idea is, it kind of remains that, you know, there's a set budget and that's what you've got to work within. So that budget apparently has not come through. And we probably will never actually hear that number because that's not really something that this process isn't something that we've really heard much about in the past, although you can kind of prognosticate that that's what was going on anyway. But knowing those things, I'm gonna start with Jake real quick here. On a realistic level, we get to, let's say, you know, the first week of December. They're the GM meetings, right? And December 5th, my birthday, by the way. We've got a draft coming up, which the White Sox have the highest percentage in the draft lottery. And quick to point out that as of now, since the inception of the MLB draft lottery, the team with the highest odds of getting the number one pick has not done that yet. Fingers crossed that it's due.
Right, that's what it's got to mean, right?
You know, that's kind of what I'm hoping for, but
has to eventually.
I mean, at some point it will. But the reality is even though you're at the highest odds, if you really kind of break it down, the odds are not, it's typically in your favor. They're a little more in your favor than the other teams that are in that draft, but the odds are against, believe it or not, that you're actually going to get that first pick. So, but knowing these things, Jake, what would be your best guess at a White Sox offseason as far as new acquisitions and maybe even a couple of guys moving up from the minor leagues?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, right? Because the budget is the huge question. I think, though, we're past the days of the depth outfield. Like, they're not going to, like, go out and get, like, a Michael A. Taylor, Nicky Lopez, Rojas. Like, I think they're past that path. The question is going to be, do they want to spend on the offense? You know, the second half offense was majorly improved. And I think that there's a chance that, you know, they look at that and they don't choose to add to that side of the ball. And they just trust in the process and they're going to move somebody to first. I don't know who it's going to be because, you know, Ian can stand up for this. There's nobody in the organization. There's quite literally, unless you are really a Tim Elko believer, there's nobody at first base. And so, you know, is it going to be Miguel at first? Is it going to be Lenin?
I'm guessing, sorry to interrupt you, but I'm guessing Ian might actually have a counter to that first base thing, but I digress.
But I just, you know, that's the one area where I really think they wanted to go all in on offense. They can go get out an Alonso, a Naylor, because they're not that expensive. I mean, for White Sox standards, right? They're expensive, but Alonso, I think last year was 30 mil with how little they're spending, especially if they can get rid of the Benintendi contract, which I don't think they can. There's a shot. But I think more of the interest is going to come on the pitching side. I think, you know, there's a lot of quality starting pitching. I think like a Zach Gallen type of guy makes sense, a guy who you're just kind of betting on a bounce back year, who you can flip at the deadline. I don't think they're out of the hoping for guys that they can flip at the deadline type of guys, but I don't think it's any more praying for, like, you know, Adrian Hauser, although it worked really well. And then the bullpen's going to need some help, right? I think they need a closer, but you're going to have Baroa back. Grant Taylor obviously has kind of showed you some stuff. I think there's a ton of bounce back candidates there, right? You have Devin Williams, Ryan Helsley's going to be there in the back end of the rotation, or sorry, bullpen. You've guys with these, you know, large amounts of experience. And then, you know, Kenley Jansen loves horrible teams. So there's always a potential for that if he doesn't retire. So I don't know what they add. I would guess it's a starter, a bullpen arm. Kenyon Middleton's a really interesting guy. I saw his name floated around. I think there's a shot there. I mean, just a kind of mid-tier reliever who can, you know, has experience. playing okay baseball, but that's my two cents on it.
It's a little blast from the past, huh?
Yeah, I would be surprised if he came back, but you never know. Yeah, as far as the, you know, you brought up the first base thing. I mean, you know, I think that you know, the limited at bats. I think that it's one of those things where it makes things tough because guys come up and push because they know if they don't do something immediately, they get sent back down. And you know, bopping from place to place, you know, it kind of causes issues. You know, you see these guys that bounce back and forth between levels. It sometimes, eventually, it takes. Sometimes not. But I mean, you know, like I said about Lenny and Sosa, it was one of those things where he needed consistent at bats. And once he got the consistent at bats, he put up some numbers. Now, is it amazing numbers? No. But you know, he at least, you know, put up some important hits and managed to be a league average hitter, which, you know, at points for the White Sox over the last 20 years, that's been a problem finding.
Well, so. And you know, my argument on that is too, is if you look at second base as a whole across the league, there were quite a few second basemen that were actually below league average. And I think that's just a big plus for the White Sox because second base has been a cavernous hole for the Sox for a long time. So maybe we get a little bit in our feels over that because, you know, we haven't had any true production out of a second baseman in a while. I mean, if you want to look back, like Leury was productive there at times, but you know, you've got to go back even further to, you know, find somebody that was, you could consider a true second baseman on this ball club. So yeah, I get it. You know, I'm a huge advocate for Lenin, but, you know, if something else were to pop up and, you know, if Lenin, and I don't want to see this, but if Lenin were, you know, to be shopped and you were able to get some value back from him, I wouldn't be opposed to that either. But I think when you're talking about first base, the reason that I brought up, you might have some retorts on that is I feel like there's a couple of guys that just by going back and by listening to some of your shows and conversations that we've had in the past, there were a couple of guys that I thought maybe you felt like could be everyday players at the MLB level sometime in the near future at first base. And, you know, I thought maybe you would touch on those. I know DJ and even George Wolko. You know, he's been pretty good in the outfield, but, you know, there's been talk about him possibly spending more time at first base. I thought maybe you would kind of lean on that a little bit. But apparently you're not feeling super awesome about any of those guys, huh?
It's not that I don't feel good about any of our prospects. It's just I don't know what their plans are, you know. And I know that there's a bunch of guys that are going to be gone. It all depends on, you know, when we see when the season ends here and we see who gets let go, then I feel like I can look at it a little bit more and say, okay, now I feel like I'm pretty positive that Braden Montgomery is going to get every chance to make it to the major leagues within like the first month and a half of the season. Like, I don't see that as like any sort of bold statement. I think it's just, you know, one of those things where it's going to take, you know, he's going to have to be healthy here and he's going to have to play in the Arizona Fall League and then come out in spring training and then, you know, look like a baseball player. And I think if that happens, then, you know, all bets are off. You know, there are guys that I think that could make a dent in the White Sox. You know, I mentioned Gallini earlier as being one of those guys.
Ryan Gallini.
Yeah, Ryan Gallini. You know, he plays first base, and he played on the Barons this year when they won the championship. I mean, it's, you know, it's entirely possible that he could get a shot.
I said DJ. I was thinking Gladney, but yeah, Gallini.
Yeah, DJ Gladney. He got hurt in the championship series in the first game, running into the wall out in center. And I got reports that he was doing okay, but then we never saw him again. Other than hanging out in the dugout. So not sure what happened there, but he's also played first base a little bit, but I don't see him. I think they see him as an outfielder because that's where he's been playing for the last year. So,
cool.
But I don't know. There are college guys that I think that have, close to college guys that I think that, have a chance to pop out into the 26 man. I just don't know, do they want to give Elko another shot? I don't know. Do they want to just pass him by and bring Galani up? I don't know. We'll see,
Cool. I can see that. I don't, I feel like Elko, I don't know if he just didn't, make the right impression, but I was hoping to see more playing time for him when he was up the couple of times that he came up during the regular season this year, and it just didn't work out that way. But I'm kind of hoping that, he at least shows out in spring a little bit to, one, either get an opportunity to make the 26-man roster, or two, drive up his value in the case that they, see fit to send him somewhere else. So I did, since Jake touched on bullpen a little bit, I wanted to kind of pick your brain before we let you go on what your thoughts are on bullpen. Do you think that there are back-end guys in this organization right now that can kind of shore up some of the missteps that we saw this season when the Sox are, in tight ball games and had with some missteps? Do you think there are guys that could shore up that middle to back end of the bullpen for us in the organization? Yeah, or do you think they go out and spend on somebody?
I mean, so we saw Tyler Alexander, Cam Booser. I'm trying to think of who else, going back to the Sporkle quiz here. There's another guy that I'm
62 names.
Tyler Gilbert.
Yeah, there's somebody that I am blanking on at the moment. It would take me a minute to figure it out, but there's another guy that got a bunch of innings that I'm just blanking on. But there are a couple of guys that
Fraser Eller, maybe.
No, I mean he only got like 15 innings or something like that.
Leisure was a big one.
Yeah, Leisure was a big one. There's Eisert. That's the other one. Thank you, Wolf Larson. Yeah, you got those three guys that if I never saw those three again, I would be perfectly happy. And when you look at those guys, they're all, guys that, nobody really expected a ton from. Like, they've put up decent innings here and there. But those are the kind of guys when you talk about guys, when people make the broad generalization that bullpens are they change from year to year on their effectiveness. Those are the guys that you're generally talking about. You're not talking about those stud guys that usually every year, year in, year out are good guys. And I feel like there are a couple of guys that can fit in that, in that area where I think that they could be consistent. Zach Franklin and Peyton Paulette being two of those guys, put up really good years this year. I mean, the problem with Paulette is that he started as a starter and he started terribly as a starter last year, and then they moved him to relief. But when he got to ever since he's moved to relief, he's been generally pretty stinking good. So I'd like to see him get a shot next year, and I think he will. Zach Franklin as well. Carson Jacobs, that's on the Arizona Fall League. He's not, an everyday name that everybody knows, but he put together a really nice season this year. And last year, to finish the season last year, he was pretty good as well. I think there's some thoughts there. I know a bunch of people were, had Anthony Hoopy Tuionetoa penciled in as the, a bullpen arm, and he never made it. So, I mean, there's
thanks
always
for not
guys
making that, me say that one. I got in trouble over that one already.
Yeah, there are guys that, people have penciled in as members of the bullpen that they're like, oh, yeah, this guy will definitely make it up there next year. And then they just, they never make it. And to answer baseball, whatever happened to AHT, I have no idea. From what I understand, there was like a family thing that he had going on, and then he just never made it back. And I don't know what the heck happened. I don't know if the White Sox were finally just like, okay, well, if you can't get your stuff sorted on your end, we'll just let you do whatever you want. You know, like there's no emotional attachment there. You know, like they got him for a, you know, a flyer outfield guy. You know, was that Robbie Grossman or something like that they got him for? I mean, like there's no emotional attachment there with AHT. Obviously, they, you know, he made a name for himself in the fall league with that, you know, super long name on the back of the jersey, and so everybody was, you know, it was the new name that everybody was enamored with, and he had some good outings, but in 2024, like his consistency really got out of whack. So I don't know. That's all I got on AHT.
Right on.
All right. Well, I'll let you guys finish this up here. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Before I have one last question, if you got time for like another minute here, just give me 60 seconds. Not even. I thought instead of doing hot takes and heaters at the end of the show, like we typically do this week, I was going to ask you guys to give me one hot take on potential big free agent signing. Throw one name out there in the free agency offseason pick that you think the White Sox might actually go kind of hard at. Or is if there isn't one, if you don't think they're going to do anything, I'll take that too.
Christopher Sanchez. That's my guy. That's what I'll take.
I don't know. I'd have to think about it. This is a tough one. I had up the. Hold on, give me one second here.
The free agent market earlier this year in general isn't the best. It's not the. It's not the marquee free agent market this off season. Yeah,
I mean, like I would like. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Because, like, I know that they're not going to go after middle infield. They could go after first base, and it wouldn't be shocking to me if they signed somebody. But I would, you know, obviously I don't think that it's going to be Pete Alonso. I don't think it's going to be Josh Naylor. I don't think they want that kind of crazy anywhere near the clubhouse.
Josh Naylor is... And, I mean, let's be honest, Josh Naylor kills the White Sox.
He does.
But if you look at his peripherals, and I mean, you look at his overall numbers, they're pretty good. But I mean, he's not. They're not awesome. So
yeah.
Oh, or JT enter chat with the banger of all bangers, saying,
"Come on, man,
55 is going to be their big free agent signing this year."
Yeah, he just elected free agency, so you know, I don't know. Like, so I feel like. You know, I've talked to other people. I had a chat on Twitter about Max Muncy, and Max Muncy would be a nice get. Just I'm curious. The Dodgers have a club option for him for $10 million. And like the only thing that I wonder is with his propensity for injuries in the last couple of years, if the White Sox would entertain it, because if you're going to miss a guy for like 25% of the year, do you want to pay him $10, $12 million? I don't know, you know, like, but you know, the leadership of having a guy that's been on world championship teams, and when he's around, he's got like a 145 WRC plus or something like that. The guy's been murdering the baseball for the last few years. That would be a really nice one to have around, and it wouldn't necessarily break the bank. So that would be a really nice one if he's available, which I don't, you know, again, I don't even know if he's going to be available. So, I mean, we just might be wasting breath here. The Starling Marte one wouldn't be a bad thing. But, you know, you're keeping Andrew Benintendi around. You're going to be – essentially, if you bring up Braden Montgomery, you're going to be penciling Andrew Benintendi in at DH every day. And is that something that they necessarily want to do with the kind of production that he put up? I mean, he's been okay as of late. I just don't know if that's
where they're going to thing with Benintendi is he just seems like he always puts it together in the latter months of the season. So can you afford to do that with somebody who takes more than the first half of the season to really warm up, you know? And I don't know if that's the case.
I kind of doubt it, but I mean, you know, the offensive production is absurd when he's playing though. So,
oh, I'm Muncy.
Yeah,
Muncy. I would take Muncy over Benintendi in a heartbeat. But like you say, you are paying. He is the highest paid player in franchise history, and you're not
for
paying
him. Couple years.
Yeah, you're not paying him to ride the pine, which, like you said, leaves him in a DH position, and that leaves Will Venable in a tough spot. So,
I know that there's a bunch of starting pitching as well. I mean, like, that's the one thing that's actually out there that they could probably find some guys that they could look at to keep around. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, there's a couple of journeyman guys that get picked up by the White Sox just for starting pitching. I just don't know who I would say that would be. That's a good question. You know, like, I mean, they could, you know, if they're looking for a guy that they could possibly sort out and make him good again, you know, like, you could be looking at a, you know, somebody like a Nestor Cortez as like some sort of a reclamation project. That wouldn't surprise me. You know, maybe, you know, you could possibly see maybe like Herman Marquez or something like that, that they could grab to try and get him back to his previous
situation. Pirates days of Herman Marquez.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of guys.
Pittsburgh, you know, when he was the most successful, right?
Yeah, you got Dustin May. You know, it's another guy that you're going to have to worry about. He's had injury issues, but the guy throws absolute gas, you know? Yeah, I don't know.
Who's from near Chicago? I think we got to figure that out too.
Yeah, I will do a by high school graduation. Who was the closest guy who played closest to the rate? And then that's your answer.
Right, you got to pick up the local kid that you know, the hometown hero, if you will.
Yeah, entirely possible. Yeah, I mean, I could see like somebody like a Dustin May. You know, the guy throws absolute gas, and he is an absolute freak show. You know, if that's somebody that they feel that they could sort through, maybe that might be a guy. Maybe Griffin Canning, who's been one of my guys that I've liked for a really long time throughout the Angel system before he moved on to the Mets. That would be an interesting you know, project. I don't know, we'll see. So there's my answer.
As you said, you know, starting pitching's out there. Jake obviously threw his guy out there. Anybody in the position player realm you see, Jake, real quick before we sign off?
Nathaniel Lowe, I think, makes sense as the first base option. I mean, talking about kind of reclamation projects, I mean, he's certainly one where if you can tap back into that power potential at first, maybe. I mean, he was disastrous this year, but maybe.
Let's see, JT in the chat. Has a great question that you know, is
Yonder typical,
it's typical of the Rick Hahn era. You know, he asks if Pete Alonso has a cousin or best friend that we can sign.
Yeah, is that Yonder Alonso's not related to Pete Alonso?
I don't know, are they?
Could be, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
It barely worked the first time.
Almost, man. We were so close. So close. 1 minute to midnight. But, yeah. you guys threw out so much out there that I think I'm gonna leave it there. We're gonna call it a night, man. I want to first off thank Ian for jumping in. Like I said, he had mentioned some things in the show with James that I wanted him to elaborate on, and I appreciate you coming in and doing that with us tonight. My next thank you goes out to the chat. You guys are always awesome. We appreciate you. If you guys like the content here, we'd appreciate it if you could hit that like and subscribe button to help us out with the algorithms any way possible. And as usual, super chats are always open during any of our live shows. You can catch Ian every week with James on the Future Sox podcast. We also have the Future Sox Roundup with a handful of our other guys here. And you can all find all our content written and otherwise on futuresocks.net, including our stuff behind the paywall for a $2 a month Patreon donation. Ian Eskridge can be found on X/Twitter at Daily White Sox. For my partner, Jacob Thome, JThome21, I am Danny Miller at Danny Miller FS. This has been Future Sox Hot Takes and Heaters. We will see you all next week, Wednesday at 8 p.m. And as always, go White Sox.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.